Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. This is one of the I Am statements that is made by Christ and recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the great I Am. Jesus is the one in whom we must trust. Jesus is the one in whom we must believe. Jesus is the one whom we must follow. Jesus is the one whom we must imitate. Jesus Christ has the power and the willingness to bless the life of every single person. In these verses of Scripture, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." In these verses of Scripture, Jesus said, "I am the door." A door is a means of entrance. A door allows us to enter into a building and find the blessings and the security that is within that building. And so it is with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door by which we may enter in through Him unto God the Father and enjoy the blessings and the security that God has to offer unto every person through Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks in these verses of Scripture of thieves and robbers. He speaks of those who have gone before Him and those who have spoken in a way that could not provide them and would not guarantee them the blessings and the security that can only come through Christ. Jesus said, "The sheep did not hear them." We must be careful in this life which voice we hear. We must be careful of the person that we follow, the person to whom in whom we trust and commit our way. Jesus is the only one that truly has the power to secure for humanity the blessings that God is willing to offer unto us. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in," every person has the opportunity to enter into the sheepfold of God. Every person has the power to come in and know God the Father through Jesus Christ. From the lowliest and the highest, from the most learned and the most educated, to the most unlearned and most uneducated. The rich, the poor, the known, the unknown can come unto Jesus Christ. I am thankful for such a Christ. I am thankful for such a God that He allows people from every walk of life, from every social standing, from every educational background, regardless of their heritage and their culture and their learning, they can follow the Christ. They can enter into the sheepfold through this great door, which is Jesus Christ. I would urge you to consider entering in if you have not done so already. I would encourage you, and this is the reason for which I speak, to enter into the sheepfold of God through Jesus Christ. I would urge you to consider with me those who are allowed to enter into the sheepfold and to consider the blessings that are found within that sheepfold. Jesus Christ offers you and me a tremendous opportunity, a blessing, a hope, a confidence, an assurance. We need something in this world that is stable and secure and certain. And Jesus Christ is that one. Let us consider those who may enter in through the door. Let us consider those whom God will allow to partake of the blessings that He offers in the sheepfold of God. Remember, Jesus is the door. Through Him we must come. Those who must enter into the sheepfold, or who may enter into the sheepfold, of course, is the believer. Only a believer can enter. God wants believers in Christ. God wants you and me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a very special person. He is a very unique character. None have ever lived like Jesus Christ. None have ever done what Jesus Christ has done. None have ever accomplished what Jesus Christ has accomplished. He is the grandest person that has lived upon the earth. We must believe in Him. John chapter 6, verses 28, 29. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is a question that they were asking of Jesus. Jesus is speaking about the works of God. There are works that must be performed. There are actions that must be taken. There is a commitment that must be given. And so they ask, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. They had refused up until this moment of time to believe in Jesus. Despite the fact that He had performed many miracles, despite the grand word that He spoke, despite the character that He exhibited, they had refused to believe on Him. They did not want to confess that He had come from God, that He in truth was God. Jesus said, If you would do the works of God, you must believe on Him whom He hath sent. You must believe on Me. I must believe that God has sent Jesus into the world. I must believe in the virgin birth that is recorded in the pages of Scripture. I must believe that a young woman called Mary, a virgin, gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. I must believe that Jesus has come into the world and lived a life of absolute perfection, even in the face of temptation and trial by the devil. I must believe that Jesus has gone to Calvary's cross, that He has shed His innocent blood so that the sins of humanity could be forgiven. I must believe that His mangled body was raised from the dead and that He has ascended into the heavens and sits at the right hand of God, and unto Him all things and all people are subjected. I must believe in Jesus because God has sent Him. God sent Him to be a Redeemer. God sent Him to be a Savior. God sent Him to be my Savior and my Redeemer and your Savior and your Redeemer. Believe on Him whom He hath sent. Later at John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. This is a powerful statement that really needs the consideration of all people. We need to consider dying in sin. What a horrible end that would be. The Bible teaches that those who die in sin cannot enter into the sheepfold. They are not saved. They're going to be lost. They're going to be condemned for all eternity. Jesus said, If you do not believe that I am the one whom God has sent, if you do not believe that I am the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah that has come into the world, the Savior of the world, then you shall die in your sins. We must believe in Jesus if we would enter into the sheepfold. That famous loved passage of John 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Those are your options and my options in this world and for this life. I can either choose to perish eternally, or I can choose to have everlasting life. God has loved me to the point, to the degree, to the fullness, that I can know him through Jesus Christ, that I can be saved and have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. But I must believe. I must be a believer. I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those who would enter into the sheepfold are the penitent. The Bible preaches repentance. The Old Testament prophets preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus Christ preached repentance. The apostles that were sent by the Lord Jesus Christ preached repentance. And every faithful gospel preacher since that day has and must preach repentance. The Bible speaks in Acts 11 of repentance unto life. Penance is simply changing, going in a different direction, believing a different philosophy, living a different type of life. Repentance means that we change our character, our conduct. We must be conformed to the idea and the standard that God has set forth. In Acts 3 and verse 19, the Apostle Peter preached in the city of Jerusalem, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Repent and be converted. We have a godly sorrow of heart for the sin that we have committed, for the sins in which we are engaged. And we must be converted, which means we must turn and we must change. We must die to sin and live unto God. We must change our life, our conduct, prompted by our thinking and the faith that has been created in our heart through our acceptance of Jesus as the Son of God. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent and be converted. Change. Live differently. Accept that high and noble philosophy of life that God has presented to us in the pages of the Bible. In Acts 17 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul is preaching to the pagans and the idolaters in the city of Athens. Athens is one of the great cities in that time. They were given to idolatry. They believed in a force that was beyond themselves. They believed in a power that was greater than themselves. But they served idols. The city was wholly given to idolatry. If we look at our society today, to a degree, we are wholly given to idolatry. We serve everything but God. We bow before every idol except God. We worship everything except God. And so Paul preaches in Athens. He preaches about God who has provided the blessings that they enjoy, who sustains this old world, and to whom they must come and in whom they must believe. And he says at verse 30 of Acts 17, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, the times of that idolatry. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." All men everywhere. in every culture, in every country, in every tongue, in every dialect, in every place, God commands for men to repent. No longer can you believe in idols. No longer can you bow before an idol. No longer can you serve an idol or worship an idol. Now you must repent. God commands that. That is not an option. In Acts 26 and verse 18, Paul is preaching before Agrippa. He's on his way to Rome, and he is giving a testimony of his life to Agrippa. And he is explaining to him why he is standing before him. And he is giving a reason for the gospel that he preaches. To open their eyes. God wants our eyes opened. He wants us to see what is important and see what we need to see. And to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul is preaching repentance. Turn from darkness to light. Turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. Why must you turn? They may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance. God has promised an inheritance. God has promised an eternal reward, a home of bliss and fellowship with Him and with the redeemed. It is a land that is bright. It is a land that is hopeful. It is a land that is contented. It is a land that is free from the ills that plague human life in this world. Turn from darkness to light. Turn from Satan to God. Repent. Those who enter into the sheepfold are the penitent. The confessor will enter into the sheepfold. Faith must be confessed. Belief must be acknowledged. We believe in Christ. We must acknowledge that we believe in Christ. We must confess that we believe in Christ. We confess with our mouth. We confess with our life. We must live what we profess. Our conduct must match our profession. In Acts 8 and verse 37, the evangelist Philip is preaching to a man from Ethiopia. This man has been to Jerusalem all the way from Ethiopia to worship. And now he's traveling home to Ethiopia. He's traveled all of that great distance to worship. And yet, he is unsaved. Do you worship and you are unsaved? Are you worshiping and yet you're outside the sheepfold because you have not entered in through the door? And so Philip, if you read Acts chapter 8, preaches unto this man Jesus. And he wanted to be baptized. Today there are people that will argue against baptism. There are religious people that argue against baptism. There are preachers who do not preach baptism. There are people who believe that they are going to heaven and have never been baptized. He wanted to be baptized. But Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He first had to believe. He had to believe in Christ. He had to believe that he was the door into the sheepfold. He had to believe that he was the Christ who had been sent from God. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed what he believed. Philip had preached unto him Jesus. When Jesus is preached, he is acknowledged as the Son of God. He is proclaimed to be the Son of God. He is God. And Philip confessed, or the eunuch, the Ethiopian confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what we must confess. At Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must confess. We must confess the faith that is in our heart. We have that faith because of what we have heard concerning Jesus. The purpose of preaching is to create faith within the human heart. And our faith in Christ as the Son of God must be confessed. We must willingly stand and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The confessor will enter into the sheepfold. Who will enter into the sheepfold through the door? The immersed, the baptized believer. At Acts 8 and verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And baptism is an immersion, it is a burial, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. It is a circumcision that cuts away the sins of the soul, according to Colossians 2, 9 through 11. It is a turning point in the human life. It is a union with Jesus Christ and a putting on of Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. It is the washing away of sin, Acts 22 and verse 16. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then we come to this Ethiopian down in Acts 8, verses 38 through 39. He's confessed Christ. And they commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing because he had entered into the sheepfold. He had gone through the door. Jesus Christ, and had entered into the sheepfold of God. He had become one of God's sheep because he had been baptized into Jesus Christ. At Acts 10, 47 and 48, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, by the authority of the Lord. The Lord commanded baptism. And so we have considered who must enter into the sheepfold through the door. The believer, the penitent, the confessor, the immersed. And the door opens unto blessings. Blessings that only God can bestow. These are blessings that you can only find in the sheepfold of God. These are blessings that you can only attain by going through the door, who is Jesus Christ. Salvation. John 10, 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He will be saved, saved from sin, saved with the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 2 and verse 10, for it became him, Jesus Christ, For whom are all things, and by whom are all things? In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is the one in whom we have salvation. There is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 11. Jesus Christ was proclaimed to be the Savior of the world. Almighty God announced through the angel unto the Virgin Mary that He shall save His people from their sins. What do we find in the sheepfold of God? We find salvation. We've been purged from our sins, washed from our sins, forgiven of our sins when we were baptized, and now we are the saved of God. We are the redeemed of the Father. All of our past is removed and forgotten by the God of heaven. We have become a new creature, a new creation. We have newness of life in God the Father. This is salvation. Salvation is being able to live with a clear conscience. Salvation allows us to serve and glorify the God of heaven. Salvation allows us to pray unto Him on a daily, continual basis and know Him as Father. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He continues to make intercession for us, plead our cause before God the Father. If we fall, we can be forgiven. If we sin while living in the sheepfold, Jesus Christ will make intercession for us. He is able, capable through His blood and sacrifice at Calvary to save to the uttermost. He can save you. He can save any person. He can save the most vile and the most sinful and the most rebellious and the most stubborn. In the sheepfold, there is salvation. In the sheepfold, there is abundant life. John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When you enter through Christ into the sheepfold, you have the abundant life. You begin to live eternally. You have been newly conceived. You have experienced a new birth. You have newness of life, and that life is an abundant life, a never-ceasing life, a never-ending life. It will continue from now throughout all eternity, and eternity is that which will not end and will not cease to be. The abundant life is the rich life, the full life, the confident life, the blessed life. We know that in God, we have help and we have strength and we have protection and we have security. That's the blessing of the abundant life. We're not bothered by the culture of the we're bothered by the culture of the world, but we do not live by the culture of the world because we live on a higher plane. This is the abundant life. It's the true richness of life. Because of the hope and the assurance and the confidence that you have in God. In 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life which is to come. There is a physical life now which will end. We will be transitioned, removed from this old world. And then there is the life that is to come. That life where we will dwell with God in that heavenly abode. Receive that inheritance that He has promised through Christ. And only through Christ can we have that blessing of abundant life. He is the door into the sheepfold. At Matthew 19 and verse 29, Jesus said, everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. God promises through Jesus Christ everlasting life. My urging for you is that you will enter into the sheepfold through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.